Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio broadcast feature for ReaderViews.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I'm talking with Jill Smolinski, author of the new chick lit novel, The Next Thing on My List. Jill has published two novels, The Next Thing on My List, which just came out in April of 2007, and Flip Flopped in 2002, as well as 9 nonfiction titles on subjects including origami, travel games, and supermodels. Her work has appeared in major women's magazines as well as a popular anthology of short stories titled American Girls About Town, which was published in 2005. Jill is a transplanted Midwesterner and now lives in Los Angeles with her 14-year-old son, and we are just delighted to talk with her today. Thank you, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Jill.
Hi, Juanita, and it's great to be here.
Wonderful. Well, I just wanted to start by telling listeners about the recent overwhelming interest in your book. You've had glowing reviews and mentions in People magazine, the Boston Globe, Library Journal, and recently Weight Watchers magazine. And the big, well-known entertainment columnist for the New York Post, Liz Smith, broke the news in March that Devil Wears Prada producer Wendy Finnerman has picked up the film rights to The Next Thing on My List for a New Line film. You must be ecstatic from all of this interest in your book.
Oh, I feel almost famous, you know?
I think so. You are. You're on that verge, on the cusp.
Well, I tell you, it's funny because when I made Liz Smith's column, of course, I'm in L.A. It came out in the Post in New York, and I had no idea that she was mentioning it. And I got an email from another writer who I met once, and all the email said is, "You've made it." And then she told me about the column, and I looked it up. So that was kind of a thrill, being, you know, I've never been in a gossip column before. I was kind of hoping, you know, for it to be something more scandalous, but this is good. This is very good.
No, this is great. And to think that we are probably going to see The Next Thing on My List on the big screen, I mean, that is fantastic.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see how it will be interpreted. When you sit down and you write a book, everybody is very, very sharp in your mind. The story is very sharp in your mind. And I'm actually interested to see, you know, who they'll pick and how it will play out, because it's interesting for me to see how what I did might be interpreted. So I'm very excited.
Absolutely. I guess there's probably a screenwriting process and things will get changed around a little bit. So I'm sure they'll keep the concept of what your book is about, because that's what's making it so popular, really.
Right, and she's Wendy Finerman who grabbed it up. She's great. She did Devil Wears Prada, as you mentioned, and so I'm just thrilled to have it in the hands of somebody that I think will do such a great job with it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's just get right to your book then. And since we're building it up here, why don't you tell readers what your book is about? What happens in The Next Thing on My List?
Sure. The book is about a woman named June Parker. She's 34 years old. She's never really done a whole lot with her life. And she, in the beginning of the book, she goes to a Weight Watchers meeting. She wants to lose a few pounds. And while she's there, she happens to give a ride home to a woman she's just met named Marissa. Now, Marissa's just lost 100 pounds. What happens is there's an accident. The car flips. June survives the accident. Marissa does not. And from there, June discovers that Marissa had written a list of 20 things she had wanted to do by her 25th birthday. And June feels so guilty about the accident that she winds up vowing that she's going to finish that list for Marissa.
Wow.
So what happens from there is just June trying to push her life forward and make this list happen on Marissa's behalf. And needless to say, if you've never really done a whole lot in your life and you've never really succeeded a lot, to grab onto somebody else's list of things to do, you know, is really challenging for her. But there's ways in which she grows, and there's things that happen to her that are really exciting and really difficult, and I think what a lot of us might face if we suddenly had to push our own lives forward. So,
Okay. So when you began writing this novel, did you know that you wanted to write a story that focused on life lists, or, you know, what inspired this novel?
Yeah, well, you know, I did. I did want to write about a life list, and I'll tell you what actually started me off was back when I was turning 40, which wasn't that long ago, but mm-hmm. when I was turning 40, I was actually quite surprised because I turned 30, no problem, but I really bumped into 40. And I really had a problem with all of a sudden, you know, my life is over, I'm old, I haven't done all these things I've always wanted to do. So I sat down and I was going to write a life list, you know, one of those things I want to do before I die list.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is I was really having a hard time. I couldn't come up with anything. I think I wrote, like, climb Mount Everest. But the truth of the matter is I don't want to climb Mount Everest. I want to climb Mount Everest,
mm-hmm.
but it really isn't an interest. And so what I discovered is there are people who maybe can, you know, push their lives forward and do exciting things, and they can make plans and go for them. And then there's probably the rest of us who have a more difficult time. So what I wound up doing instead is for the 40 days prior to my 40th birthday, I did something every day that I'd never done before, that I'm scared to do, that just sounded fun. And for me, that was sort of my variation on a life list. It was something that made me more aware of the surroundings around me and made me a little more excited about every day. And that wound up, and it was such an amazing experience. I did little things, like I tried Brussels sprouts for the first time.
Wow.
You know, I learned how to use a scanner. But I also did bigger things. I went up in a helicopter, and I'm afraid of heights.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, and I did some things. But one of the things I also did is I had written my first novel. I hadn't sold it yet.
Oh.
I had an agent, but it was, you know, it was getting sent around. And one of the things I said it was maybe day 15, I said, I'm going to pull out my manuscript, I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to make some changes to make it more sellable. And so I reread the manuscript, and what I realized is I really still liked my novel. I really still believed in my novel, and I was just going to, that day, instead of changing it, I was just going to decide to believe in the fact that it was going to happen. And 4 days later, I got a call from my agent, and my book had sold.
You've got to be kidding.
No, and so to me, this was just to write down something I wanted to do every day, and to really commit to it changed my life forever. And I thought, what if I wrote a book about that happening to somebody else? What if somebody else, you know, had to do that too? You know, what would happen to her? So that was really what set this whole book in motion.
Wow. Well, what do you think it is about the act of actually writing it down that is the catalyst for it to happen? You know, we can have goals and ideas in our head, but
mm-hmm.
there's something so powerful about writing it down. What do you think that is?
I mean, I agree with you, the difference. You know, I think it just comes down to the fact that it makes it real. I mean, you know, people talk all the time about what they want to do, and that's what it winds up being, is talk.
Mm-hmm.
And when you write something down, you know, and they've done studies, people are visual. You know, 80% of people learn visually. So I think when you write it down, you see it, and you commit it on paper, you really do, it tweaks something in your brain, and you really do go for it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's proved true for me. And I tell you, since I started this book, I have talked with so many people doing life lists. And the people who are writing it down are able to tell me the steps they've made. You know, if they wrote down run a marathon,
mm-hmm.
they're running a 5K at this point.
Wow.
You know, and they're working their way toward it. Other people, if they rattle it off and they haven't written it down, it's funny because they really haven't progressed toward anything, usually.
Mm-hmm. Did you find it at all hard to keep yourself accountable to any of the goals on your list?
Yes. If I'm being honest, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
There were days when I I'm doing it again. I had just done it for 40 days, then I restarted it up again.
Oh, okay.
And there are days, I'll be honest, when the last thing in the world I want to do, I just want to sit in my sweats all day, check my email, you know, talk with friends on the phone, get work done, run some errands, and really do my normal routine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really challenging for me on certain days because I'm one of those people, and I don't think I'm that rare,
mm-hmm.
where it's really easy to get into a rut.
Yes.
And you know, I liken it to if you drive regularly, say to work, and you if you ever had that experience where you're driving along and then the next thing you know, you sort of wake up and you're at work because the route is so familiar that you don't pay any attention. So I find that by doing something small every day. I mean, the other day I went and I stopped at a pet store and I held a snake.
Oh, wow.
And it's the dumbest little thing. I couldn't think of anything else. I saw a pet store and I did it. And just believe me, you want to get your heart started? Hold a snake. I mean, if that doesn't stand out in your mind, I mean, for me at least, I'd never done it before. But just, you know, if you're going along in life, suddenly you start noticing, I never even noticed that pet store there. I wouldn't have thought of a snake. You know, I've tried new foods. I've tried new restaurants. And everything, it wakes up part of my brain, and I notice things all the time. And sometimes I don't feel like it, but I do. And I always make myself at least do something little.
And I'm sure once you do it, it just brings or breathes new life into you because you have done it.
It does. It does. And I'll tell you one thing is, and you mentioned the writing it down, and I don't know if I would stay so loyal to this if I weren't just jotting it. I jot it down in a notebook. I jot it down on a blog what I did every day. And, again, you said it makes me accountable, and it's exciting. It's definitely opened up new things for me.
I'm sure. Do you have any other people that you work with doing the list? Do you suggest people do their lists in group form, or how? What do you think about that?
I think people should do whatever they feel comfortable with. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons I'm doing my list this way is I'm a single mom. Mm. And I work full-time. I work a lot of hours, especially when I'm on deadline. And I find this fits nicely into my life because I think for women in particular, but I think everyone, it's really hard to find the time to work on goals. You call them goals, and the next thing you know, they seem so big, and you think, how can I do that when I have to run to the grocery store and, you know, do my ironing and pick up this and pick up that and take care of my kids? Mm. And I find that, you know, to be accountable to friends is great, but whatever works for you is what you need to do. Mm. And for me, this doing something small works for me. But I think that whatever way you can make it happen, you know, even if it's one little thing a week, do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love the way you're talking about, you know, trying new foods or going to the pet store to hold a snake. I mean, those are different than what people typically think of as goals or what they might put on a list to do. And there's a real difference I'm hearing, and I think that the experience that you have is a little different too, because it sounds like, you know, you're just pushing the boundaries of your experience and allowing new to come in, which is a little different than, like, you know, a set goal of climbing Mount Everest. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And it's one of the things, and one of the reasons this really inspired my book is in my novel, my character June is not doing her own list.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing somebody else's. And the things on the list aren't really huge things because it was something this girl had wanted to do by her 25th birthday. She'd given herself that goal. So what my character discovers is oftentimes it's not those goals we think we want.
Oh.
You know, these weren't even her goals. So it's not even that thing you think you have to do. It's more the process of going forward. It's more the process of moving your life forward in some way and not allowing yourself to just maintain, but to basically say, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try something.
Right.
And maybe it's going to be this thing that's going to change my life forever, or maybe it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't ever know until you put a step forward, and you might even find going for one thing that something else comes of it that you never expected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly a lot of what I had fun playing with in my novel, was putting her into situations where she was discovering new things about herself, going for one thing, you know, trying to do one thing and then discovering how it affected her life in a different way.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And that is really a core theme of your book, is self-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, you really do gear this. It is a chick lit novel, so it is geared towards women. Why do you think we as women need to hear this message?
Well, we certainly hear the other message enough, which is we're not good enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not thin enough. And so, you know, you're beaten down by those messages. And I think even more so, we are so busy taking care of other people. Mm. We are raised to be the wives and the moms and the good friends and the good workers, and all of our time is spent really focusing on other people. And I think that a lot of women almost find it selfish to put any attention on themselves, to take care of themselves. And, you know, when you're on a plane, you know, what's the first thing the flight attendant tells you when you're about to take off is, you know, if in case of emergency, take your oxygen mask, apply, you know, put it on yourself, and then help someone else.
That's true.
Because, of course, you know, when you are stronger, when you are taking care of yourself, then you really do have more to give. But I think we tend to forget that. We get so bogged down in, you know, I can't do this for myself. I have to do these other things. And I truly believe, and that's, again, why I love the idea of just doing something small. Because, and a lot of times what I found is what I'm doing actually takes less time than what my normal routine does. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, I started on one of the days, I've been walking for my exercise, and I go to the gym. I'd walk for like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And then one day I thought, why am I walking? You know, I used to do aerobics and run, and when did I start just walking? So I thought, I'm going to jog. Mm-hmm. And what I found is I could get a much better workout in 40 minutes than I was getting in an hour and a half.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, I actually saved myself time by switching how I was doing things, by aiming, you know, by doing something a little differently. And it doesn't have to take more time, but even if it does, that's okay. It's okay to spend time on yourself.
Absolutely.
You know,
and
I think we forget that.
Yes, I think you're right. I think we need to hear that over and over again. Absolutely. So the new list that you have up on your blog now, mm-hmm. which I think, when I checked, I think you were at day 39.
Yes.
That, okay. How has your list changed from the original list that you did to this one now? Are you getting more daring and more adventurous? How are you seeing that change?
Probably the opposite.
Opposite.
Because, well, before what it was, is, and I think it depends on how you're going for it. Before, I knew I had 40 days.
Mm.
And so with a clear-cut beginning and a clear-cut end, I, you know, a lot of the things I just really went for it. I tried snowboarding. I did a lot of things that some of the things took all day long.
Wow.
This time around, what I'm finding is it's different, but it's, for me, maybe even more rewarding because it really is part of my life now. I really have to incorporate it into the everyday things. And definitely what I'm doing is smaller because if I have to, you know, if I'm making myself do something every day, you know, I rented, for example, The Godfather. I have been meaning to see that movie since 1972.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, well, I can't spend 3 hours watching a movie. And so this time around, that was something I did on my normal movie night. And it doesn't seem like a big thing,
mm-hmm.
but I, as I'm watching that movie, I thought, oh, my gosh, I've been quoting this movie, you know, through other, you know, from what I've heard around for years,
sure.
And I never knew where it came from. So it was definitely a little spark, but it definitely this time around is probably more organic to my everyday life, which in some ways is better because it makes my ordinary, everyday, mundane life seem a little bit more fun, a little bit more sparkly, if that makes sense.
No, it does really make sense. So bottom line, how would you say your life has changed doing the list? Like, how do you see yourself differently? What's the difference from before all of this, all the lists and the book and everything, and how your life is now? How are you different?
I definitely think I'm a little braver.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think I'm more outgoing because I've had to force myself to be outgoing. And one of the things I've learned is there may never come the day where I walk boldly into a room without fear, without shyness. You know, there may never come that day where I will, you know, get to the top of a mountain and be unafraid to ski down.
Mm-hmm.
That day may never come. But the day comes where I will do it anyway.
Mm.
And that seems to be where I'm at now, as I have discovered by going out there, because I've made myself do it again and again and again, that I did okay. Mm-hmm. And the more experiences I have like that, the more I realize that I'll be okay at the end of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a person who was nervous about a pedicure.
Oh, no.
Because I've never had one. So
was that
really,
on your list?
It was on my list.
Okay.
And I did it.
Mm-hmm. Not too
and
bad.
And I don't know if I'd do it again, but I did it.
Oh, okay.
There might be pedicure people and then others.
Sure.
But no, but it was, you know, it was one of those things. I have definitely, and for me, I think my life is in a completely different place because, you know, during that first bit of it, I got my first novel published, and that made me, of course, be able to switch my entire career around. Mm. So at the time, I was working full-time writing for an agency. I still do that part-time, but I'm now able to work at home. I have a whole different life than I had before. So for me, it's so monumentally different.
Wow. I think that's probably why this message in your book, I mean, the writing is fantastic, but the core message is something that we all need to hear. We all need to be reminded of this.
And it's something I really wanted to talk about. When I sat down to write the book, there's a lot of books out there, and I know chick lit gets a bad rap,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think sometimes, you know, sometimes maybe it's a little deserved only when, you know, there's some books out there that's just let's buy shoes and find a boy.
Right.
You know, and I didn't want to write about that because I don't really like shoes that much, and you know, my love life needs a little work. I can't be preaching to anyone on that front. But I really felt like this is something we all struggle with, and maybe some of us more than others, but I have never met anybody who didn't want something more out of their life. You know, even no matter how successful they may be, they still want something so that, you know, not only so that when they're old they can look back and say, I lived a great life, but so that when they wake up in the morning, they're excited.
Yes.
And I think everybody feels that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what has been the response of readers of your book so far from what you've been hearing on your blog?
Oh, my gosh. It's been incredible. And I've been getting emails from people and people commenting on the blog about, just for one thing, you know, reading. I've gotten so many people said, I read your novel and I'm starting a life list.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets so exciting for me because, and I always ask them, please, you know, report back, let me know how it's going, because nothing could make me happier than knowing something I wrote inspired somebody to take action in their life in some way. And I'm getting all kinds of comments from people also on my blog giving me suggestions for things I might want to do. And believe me, I'm grateful for those because when you're doing something every day, you're glad to have any ideas that come your way.
You have to be very creative.
Exactly.
Oh,
but it's really been wonderful.
Oh, that's fantastic. Are you working on anything else at this moment? Do you have any other projects in the works?
I'm working on my next novel,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wish I was working faster, but that's okay,
well,
I'm working on it.
Absolutely. How did you get into writing, Jill?
I knew I wanted to be a writer when I was 6 years old. And in my classroom, they had something called the Young Authors Conference. I grew up in a suburb of Detroit, Michigan, and they picked one kid from the class to write a short story and represent the class at this conference, and you got your first story published, and my class picked me. And so, you know, I got to the conference, and they had cookies, and they made a big deal out of you. So at that point, I knew that's exactly what I wanted to do. And I always worked in writing in some way or another. You know, when I went to school in journalism and then went on to work at Teen Magazine for a while, and I did a lot of other magazine work, and I always kind of played, I always earned a living writing. It was always nonfiction. I wrote a lot of the nonfiction books you mentioned, and then at one point I just thought, you know what, when I started out, I wrote a short story. You know, I did not dream of writing press releases. I dreamed of writing a novel,
mm-hmm.
And so I just took a class on basic fiction writing, and we had the first thing we had to write was 15 pages of something, and those 15 pages wound up being the opening chapter of my first novel.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and then I just kept going, and I thought, You know, and I thought at the beginning, you know, when you're struggling to get 15 pages down,
yeah,
you think I could never write.
Yeah.
But what I find is, you know, 15 pages turns into 16, turns into to 30, and so on. And eventually, if I just show up at the page every day and sit down and write something, eventually I will get to the end.
Absolutely. Oh, that's fascinating. Well, how can readers get a hold of you? What's your website?
My website is jillsmolinski.com, and on my website I have all kinds of information about doing a life list. I have information about writing, and also from there they can link to my blog, where I am chronicling every day what I'm doing for my personal life list, and they can also make comments about what they're doing as far as the life list goes, and hopefully give me some suggestions and feedback on what I'm doing.
Oh, that's great. So it sounds pretty interactive.
It is. It is. And I love to hear from people. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, what's your latest one that you're working on? What's the latest on your list?
Well, the latest thing I did just yesterday was I actually had photographers show up to my house. They were sent by a magazine that's going to be featuring me, and I actually had to play supermodel for a day.
Oh!
And I almost turned it down because I thought, I hate getting my picture taken. And then I thought, you know what? Opportunity has come a knock and answer. And so they sent a photographer and a hair and makeup person, and I'll tell you something. I will never feel bad again looking at a magazine. When I see how long they take,
the amount of
makeup that you have on, the amount of work that they do, the lighting and everything, it was very eye-opening as to just how much, you know, how much goes into it. But I also have a new respect for models,
mm-hmm.
because it's hard to smile that long.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to get a twitch.
Yeah, it's not all glamorous.
No, it isn't, but that was the latest thing today. And then today I'm going to try... I've always wanted to try this fruit called dragon fruit.
Okay. I've heard
it's this really ugly, weird-looking fruit that you can only get at Asian grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go try that today.
Well, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I guess readers can just jump onto your website and find out how that went.
Yeah.
Check into your blog. All right. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to add today or pass on to listeners before we let you go?
Just that I hope that they take some of this and create something of their own, that they go out and they maybe just today do one small thing. Just do one little thing, see how it feels, get started, and I think that they'll find that before they know it, they'll be excited about doing something again. And that I'm very glad that you had me here. It was delightful talking to you.
Oh, Jill, well, I just thank you so much. I think your book is fantastic and really, really encourage readers to check it out. Look for it at their local bookstores, go to your website, and just see how powerful this process really is. And just thank you again for talking with ReaderViews today.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jill.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So thank you so much for listening. This was Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson. And once again, Jill's website is www.jillsmolinski.com, that's jillsmolinski.com. As well, you can go to readerviews.com for a recent book review and online interview of Jill's book, The Next Thing on My List. Thanks for listening, and until next time.